auspicious event before Radha Madan Mohan, beautifully decorated altar. In an essay written by Bhaktivinod Thakur, he describes very nicely what we're doing today. Of the essential sangskaras, or means for purifying the soul, as the soul is journeying from one situation of life to the next situation of life, at each of those junctures, there's a process or a procedure for creating auspiciousness. And in his writing, this of the various sangskaras is the most important, because in this particular sangskara, the formal connection with Krishna, that is, submission unto the disciplic succession from Krishna and from Krishna's side, and the disciplic succession side, the acceptance of that particular soul as part of Krishna's family, is fulfilled. Just to amplify that a little bit. January 2011, I went with a group of devotees to visit temples in South India from that Lord Chaitanya visited in the course of his travel from Puri and the whole of South India. We followed that same path, just as is found in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And many of those temples are Sri Vaishnava temples, where there's huge deity worship going on, big effort of many pujaris and many rituals being observed. So simply because of this nice cloth of a sannyasi, although there are many lines standing long time to get darshan of the deity, I didn't ask for anything special, but just got whisked up to the front of the inner sanctum where the deities are. And I guess it happens enough that the pujaris know exactly what to do. There's some particular little ritual that they observe for certain persons. I guess it's commonly you make a little donation to the deity and you get a little ritual. So I don't know what happened on the donation end, but the ritual end, I don't speak the language of the pujaris, and they don't speak my language, so they were asking the persons that were with me name and gotra. So we all know what, like they said that in English, name. And then gotra, I heard the word, along with all the other words. And then they said, Romapada Swami, Achyuta Gotra. Now those of you that are from India, most of you are from India, you know what gotra means. It's the family in which you're born. That's the first birth. But then there's a second birth, Dvija. Ja and Dvija. And the second birth is a recognition of being accepted by Krishna as part of Krishna's family, and that whatever your gotra was, it becomes a chuta gotra. And the pujaris didn't blink an eye or shrug a shoulder, or they didn't, I guess they were used to ISKCON devotees saying that. Because then sometimes the person that was with me, he asked him, and he gave his name and said, Achyuta Gotra, because that's our identification. Once we submit unto Krishna and are accepted by Krishna, we're part of Krishna's family. Of course, in a broader sense, all living entities are part of Krishna's family. Krishna states that in Bhagavad Gita. All living entities are my eternal parts and parcels. Mame vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. So we're all part of Krishna's family. But the significance is formal acknowledgement of that and submission once again unto Krishna and formal acceptance by Krishna. That's what we're doing right now signifies. Submission and acceptance. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in this essay on initiation, there are five essential elements that are to be part, although different sampradayas execute the procedure, the ritual, the pancharatra, slightly differently, there are five common elements. And the first that he mentions is tapa. Just like Lord Brahma, before he received Gayatri Mantra from the flute song of Krishna, he underwent tapa. Because he heard, you know this, he heard tapa, tapa, tapa. He received, after tapa, he received initiation. Even he was, who was Brahma's father? Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. But according to the language of Sri Brahma Samhita, he was not considered Brahmana, even though his father was the personality of Godhead, until he received his initiation from the flute song of Krishna. And it came out in the form of Kam Gayatri, which he then recited for thousands of celestial years and realized his own spiritual identity as a maidservant of Krishna. He also understood his worldly service as the constructor or the engineer or the creator of the universe, that he was gifted also as a service. But his spiritual identity became disclosed through his chanting of his mantra. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in whatever the particular way that it's observed, tapa is essential, one of the five essential elements. And then he goes on to explain that in the Sri Sampradaya, they have a different system of tapa in the form of a brand, the hot something, metal or something, that marks the impression of the symbols of Vishnu on the shoulder of the initiate. He then says, Lord Chaitanya was more merciful. His method of tapa was regret for one's past misuse of free will. Back that way, for all of us, there are some misuses of free will. And it's an austerity or tapa for a Vaishnava. It's purification for a tapa, a Vaishnava, that previous wrongdoings, previous foolishness or misuse of free will, we feel regret. We received the human form of life for who knows, whatever lifetimes, and then again in this lifetime then did not fulfill the purpose of the human form of life. And in the course of that, some foolishness. So it's purification. Tapa is for, not so that it hurts, it's for purification. And purification means remembering our real identity, and in this case specifically regretting our misuse of facility of this human form of life. So that means the commitment to not again misuse it. And then he indicates four other things. Receiving neck beats. Just historically, In ISKCON, we have neck beads in the gift store. Oops, the gift store is over there. We have neck beads in the gift store. Anybody comes can buy neck beads and wear them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't wear neck beads until he was initiated. That was like an issue at one time in Jagannath Puri, where he was speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam very, very wonderfully, but he wasn't wearing neck beads, and he didn't have tilak, because that's another item. Ordvam Hundra. Ordvam means upward direction, tilak that goes like that, not tilak that goes like that, but tilak, the Vaishnav tilak, and Kuntimala. So, our Vaishnavas wear tilak, whether they may be initiated or not initiated, but it's something that's a formality, and thenceforward one should always wear neck beads, and as far as circumstances permit, tilak. And two other things, a name, he explains, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, a name that reminds one of Krishna, like Vishnu Das or Krishna Das, etc., Madhava Das, some name that reminds one of Krishna. And a deity to worship, along with the chanting of the mantra, some deity to worship. So, if someone has a deity in their home, that's very nice, and someone has the deity in the temple, that's very, very nice. So, I certainly remember the deity in front of whom I received initiation, and it's a very special feature of initiation, where the deity, in front of the deity that you take your vows, initiation vows. So, the procedure that Srila Prabhupada took from this is, what we're doing this evening is Harinam Diksha, initiation into the chanting of the holy name. Prior to initiation in the chanting of the holy name, anyone is eligible. There's no prerequisite for chanting of the holy name. Very, very merciful, the process of chanting the holy name. But at the time of initiation, there are vows taken to complete daily chanting of the holy name and following of regular principles, so that the foundation or the atmosphere of the mode of goodness in one's life, basically, or minimally, we should say, minimally, can be established. And then from that, other standards of goodness, goodness in speech, goodness in conduct, goodness in one's occupational activity, and so forth. Standards of goodness should prevail in the life of a Vaishnava. And then, as having been received in the formality, are we, what are we going to do here? Help me. What's the plan? Samadharti? Just keep going. Okay. Hare Krishna, thanks. Continuing the process of submission is a beginning, and continuing the course of one's life, because vows are taken and the process of submission is ongoing, then one continues the means for purification through the chanting of the holy name with that formal acceptance and the formal submission of vows before the spiritual master and the deities and the Vaishnavas, so that one can continue. One lecture that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave about at the time of initiation, from reading, there was a transcription of his lecture, and from reading the transcription, apparently it was a very large initiation with many, many, because he had many, many disciples in the course of his years of functioning as a spiritual master. He explained that the essence of initiation is submission. Just like we read in Bhagavad Gita, tadviti pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. So this, of these three responsibilities on the part of tadvidhi, that person who wants to know Krishna, that person who wants to know Krishna is to present submission to Krishna. And submission to Krishna means submission to the representative of Krishna. That's where it begins. And but it signifies, or it represents, it is submission unto Krishna. Because Krishna says like that. So Bhaktisiddhanta said the essence of initiation is submission. And of course the other side is acceptance. And he said that on the basis of that submission, the experience of each of the initiates is going to be different. Different, 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 same event. And the difference is proportionate to one's submission. And then he went on to say that in the course of time, if submission slackens, then one's worldliness, that which one is protected from by the process of devotional service and the internal potency of Krishna, engages one, Srimati Radharani engages one in devotional service to Krishna. If submission slackens, then again the material energy takes over and directs, controls the life of the one who has failed to submit to Krishna and maintain their spiritual standards properly. The converse again is there's protection. And from our side, that beginning of protection is in submission. And then comes the second one, prashna. There's a nice verse that Prabhupada invariably would quote at initiations, respective to this prashna factor. Tasmat guru prapadyeta jigyaso shreya uttama. Shabde parete nishnatam brahmani upashama shrayam. Nice verse. Very packed, so we'll unpack it. Jigyasu shreya uttama. Jigyasu shreya uttama. Jigyasu means inquisitiveness, asking questions, like prashna. Inquisitiveness. And then shreya uttama. It's nice being, in one sense, it's nice being an American that doesn't know Sanskrit. Because when Prabhupada taught Sanskrit, he knew he was teaching people, they didn't know Sanskrit. So he had to, like we're children. And it was very nice, because it's nice to be a child in front of your spiritual master. And then he would explain things so simply. So one of the words that I remember learning was, and there are these two words, Shreya and Preya. So, Preya, or Preyas, means short-term benefit, and Shreyas means long-term benefit. And he would give the example. Like children, they like to pray. Play. They like to play. I remember, I won't embarrass the family, but I remember one time when family moved from one place to another place because of the school, and they asked their son, which school do you like better, where you were before this new one? He said, I like the new one. Why? There's more time to play. That's the standard of a good school, more time to play. Pray us. But parents know, my dear son, I know you like to play, we'll arrange some time for you to play, but you have to get an education, because one day you'll need an education to take care of your adult responsibilities. I want to play, I want to play. Okay. But Shreya too, long-term benefit. You defer some of the playing so you can do some studying, so, because there's long-term benefit. You defer short-term for long-term benefit. That's Shreya. And then Shreya Uttama is we look at our life and consider what's the Uttama, what's the most important long-term benefit. Jigyasu Shreya Uttama, for such a person who inquires about the ultimate benefit of life, Tasmat Guru Prapadyeta, such a person requires a spiritual master. And requiring a spiritual master, first of all, is finding one, a tattvadarshi bhihi, in the language of Bhagavad Gita, but find such a person, and then prapadyeta. So how do I know who's the right person, who's qualified? It's not, as some people think, there's a predestined somebody, like in marriage, there's a soulmate. I just have to find somewhere out there in the universe is that person who is intended for me to be with, is my husband or wife. Anyway, that's a misconception. That is, it's like, you know, in the hall here, I imagine there's a number of electric sockets. And all that has to happen to run your device or your appliance, your fan or whatever it is you find one. And, you know, the treasurer paid the electric bill. And just find one and plug in. And any one of them is good because it will deliver electricity. That's what's required. So the other part of the verse describes that, you know, when the electricity is on, or this, the qualification is there, what are the symptoms of that qualification? Shabde pare cha nishnatam brahmani upashramashrayam. Very, very simple. Unpack it. Shabde pare. The qualified person is one who has received their knowledge through shabda. Shabda praman. They've learned and reached the conclusion of the scriptures. And nishnatam, they can explain it to others and remove the doubts of others that may not have gone through that wonderful experience of systematically studying the scriptures and being clear what the conclusions are. And as Arjuna did, ask questions. If one has some shaya or some doubt, as Arjuna did, present that to Krishna or the qualified person and get then a proper understanding on the basis of authorized scriptures. Shabde pare cha nishnatam brahmani upashramashrayam. They're fixed in spiritual activity, and upashramashrayam, the material affairs, they're far distant. That is, material affairs mean specifically affinity for enjoying matter. In other words, one may be a householder guru, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a householder guru, or Vyasadeva was a householder guru, and so many others. Srinivas Acharya, great Acharya, had two wives under the instruction of those who were guiding him in his spiritual life. But most eminent spiritual teachers, but not with the affinity for enjoying matter. So these are qualifications that one should consider in fulfilling this mandate of successfully moving through this particular stage of life, at whatever that stage of life, whenever that stage of life may come. So our nice devotees here, they're at that stage where they've been through those preliminary steps and received the recommendation from the temple presidents. There are certain procedures that are required within ISKCON for that to take place, and carefully guided over a period of time by Hari Prabhu and his good wife in how to practically apply the devotional teachings and live one's life accordingly. Not just theoretical understanding, but this is where it gets separates the men from the boys, where there's practical application of those things that you know, and consistent practical application of those nice devotional teachings. How to live your life in a way that is conducive to bring about spiritual realization. And that's required prior to initiation, because after initiation, you have the wonderful responsibility of being representatives of Krishna's family. Just like Krishna speaks to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, you're from a very elevated family, and how have these impurities come upon you? So that's a service that initiated devotees must perform. Prior is training and qualifying and preparing, and then performing. So the application of our devotional teachings and being exemplary through our lives to teach others of our devotional teachings, and following our disciplic line, extending that to others. And part of extending that to others is your own conduct. I'll just share this because it fits in a little bit with discussion we had yesterday evening. A little episode between Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami, where Rupa Goswami wanted his disciple Jiva Goswami to learn the importance of humility. Although he had great capacity, sometimes if there's great capacity, we're not as humble as we should be. Anyway, as a teacher or spiritual master may discipline the child or the student or the disciple, Rupa Goswami was doing like this. And at the end of the exchange, Sanatan Goswami asked this nice question of Rupa Goswami: what's the foremost qualification, according to Lord Chaitanya, of the qualities of a devotee? Of course, submission to Krishna. But following submission to Krishna, what most prominent quality does a devotee have? And he said, jivadaya, compassion upon the living entity. So Sanatana Goswami presented, here's one jiva, your disciple, jiva, and please be kind upon him. So Srimati Radharani also represents that kindness. I'm looking at the clock and I want to keep within our time limits. I'll just say two final things. Srimati Radharani one time was walking with her girlfriends along a path. You just imagine. There's fields on this side and fields on that side, and Radharani's with her friends, gopi friends, walking along the path, and she sees some cowherd boys over in the field, and they're very loud, and they have sticks and they have stones and they're making loud sounds. So she went over to see what they were doing, and there was a hole in the ground, and they were poking sticks in the hole and throwing stones into the hole and saying bad things. So she asked, what's in the hole? Is it a fox? I don't know the whole details of the story. Remember the essence of the story. And Radharani felt so compassionate. She, with tears in her eyes, she asked the boys, please move away, and coaxed the fox to come out of the hole and placed the fox in her arms and carried the fox to a position of safety. Srimati Radharani. Or here's a wonderful Prabhupada story. Similar. It's about compassion, and it's in the honor of Srimati Radharani and representing her having become part of Krishna's family. How are we to exhibit that? There must be some exercise of development of the quality of compassion. So one time Prabhupada, after being in the United States, as you know, when he came across on the Jaladuta, he had two heart attacks. And he wrote that if I have another, surely I will die. He wrote that in his diary, his journal. He didn't have another heart attack. He spent some time preaching in New York City and then some travel, San Francisco, Montreal, and maintaining his fledgling disciples. He had another heart attack in New York, and he was taken to the New Jersey shore where to convalesce and recover. And it was summertime, it was warm, hot, nice sea breeze coming off the ocean, Prabhupada sitting in a chair by the side of a sea in the place where he was staying. And there was a devotee, there were devotees assigned to just be with Prabhupada in case he needed anything. So one of the devotees that was by Prabhupada's side saw a slug, S-L-U-G, like a snail outside of his shell, a slimy, slithery, yucky-looking thing crawling towards Prabhupada. And the devotee went, "Ugh!" And Prabhupada looked at what the devotee was saying, "Ugh!" about, and he saw the slug. And Prabhupada shook his head like this and said, "Poor thing. How unfortunate. Chant for him." And began chanting, and the devotee began chanting. And as they were doing like that, the devotee thought, "This is us. We're the slug. And Prabhupada is looking upon us not like, oh, yuck, but the poor thing. Give them the holy name." That's Srimati Radharani. And the representative of Srimati Radharani and the representative of our disciplic succession, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, similarly, in same, the mood of Radharani, giving the opportunity for devotional service, starting with the chanting of the holy name, somehow, in the course of your lives, take that mood and responsibility seriously. And I'm going to stop because the clock keeps moving.